He said that he loves you. And sometimes we get so, well, I know he loves me. I'm going to try to find here. I'm going to read this again out of the Amplified. That's why I'm opening my phone here and I have it on here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just want to make sure we heard that this morning. And wherever you are, whoever you are, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, right? Glory to God. You say, well, God doesn't speak. He has spoken. How many know his word is a more, Peter said his word is a more sure word. A sure word of what? Prophecy to you and I. God's word, his word, what he said. Amen? Hallelujah. But here it is in the Amplified again, Ephesians 2:4. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Did you get that? Hallelujah. He is rich in mercy. Hallelujah. I mean, right before that, he was talking about, hey, these are those, you know, some of you were in disobedience, careless, rebellious, unbelieving, against the purpose of God. Anybody ever been there before? You know, maybe you had received the purpose of God, but you lost your way. You're saying, man, I'm going my own way, which is really against what God had designed and what he wanted. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of, in order to satisfy the great and wonderful, intense love with which he loved us. Can we believe that he loves us today? Can you believe that he loves you today? You said, yeah, but Pastor, I didn't do everything exactly right. Well, hallelujah. Join and get in line with every other believer who hasn't done everything exactly right and begin to believe that he loves you. How many know that he said in Matthew 22, who knows what it says there, where he talked about the love. What's our first command? To love the Lord your God, what, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor, how? As yourself. Can you believe that he loves you? See, he wants you to love yourself. Sometimes in the Christian world, we say, well, God wants us to love people. Yes, he does. But he wants us to love everybody, including ourselves. And he wants you to know that he loves you. Hallelujah. Did you know one of my great scriptures today? The Bible says that love works. Faith worketh by what? Love. We've talked about it before that we need to know not just what God said, amen, but who he is. And here we see today, Ephesians 2:4, that God is so rich in his mercy. How many are glad he's rich in mercy? Amen. Are you glad he's rich in mercy? Do you understand every person on the earth, every one of us? I don't care who you were. I don't care what you think you were. You said, well, I got saved when I was 3. Well, praise the Lord. We're glad for you. Or whatever age it was, whenever you turned your heart to God. But at the same time, every human on the earth had one destination, and that was a place of eternal separation from God because of sin. We all had that sin nature. And every person is there right now. Every person on this earth needs Jesus. Amen? And we're on a mission, aren't we? Each one reach one. That's one of our things this year. It's part of our transformation when we realize that God has loved us. And he said, I want to satisfy my love. If God had a handicap, you are it. mankind is his handicap, if he had one, because he loves them so much. He can't help himself. He can't do anything else but love you. He said, yes, but I'm, you know, you don't understand what I have done. Well, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, when we confess our sins, he removes them. How far is the east from the west? It's eternal, isn't it? He didn't say north and the south. He said east to west. If you keep going east, what are you going to do? You're going to keep going east, aren't you? There's no end. If you go west, there's no end to going west. There's no end to him. He said, I have thrown your sin into the sea of forgetfulness, and I have chosen to love you. Hallelujah. 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 If you're struggling this morning, maybe someone is, as Jim had said, it's a word for somebody. For someone. God didn't say it by accident. He didn't choose it. He chose it for you and I. And this morning I want us to say it with our mouth. Say it with our mouth. Say, I believe God loves me and I receive his love. Hallelujah. 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 There's nothing else he can do. He doesn't have something else. It's not that God has love. He is love. Amen. Hallelujah. He is love. And how many believe you can become like him? You can be love. Amen. You can let his love flow through us. We become one with his love, one with him, accepted in the beloved. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to make sure we heard that this morning. I know we did, but sometimes we hear, and we hear something, and then what? We heard it, but did it go in one ear and out the other? Did we let it sit and come and land really in our heart? And believe with our heart. Faith is of what? The heart. It's not of the head. It's of the heart. Now sometimes we gain knowledge with our brain, and it helps us. Knowledge is a key. He said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. In other words, we don't know. Some people don't know what God said. Hallelujah. How many are glad you know what God said? And you're learning what God said. That by his, what, stripes were healed. He's interested in us growing up and being disciples and discipling others. Amen. Hallelujah. That's part of what we do. We make disciples, what, to change the world. Well, how's that going to happen? You are going to become his disciple. And what does that mean? We get the privilege of discipling somebody else. How many can share with somebody what God has done for you? Amen. Hallelujah. Can you do that much? Amen. Say, yeah, I can. Why? Because you walked through it. Amen. Well, here's how I found. Here's how I began. Here's what God's doing in me. I found out how much he loved me. Amen. Hallelujah. You can share that with someone else. You can help them mature. Amen. You can help them grow. We can begin to share the truth and who he is and have faith in that. Amen. Glory to God. So we're here. We're reaching the city of St. Thomas in Elgin County, bringing men and women to relationship with the Father and fellow believers. We have the kind of worship that flows in freedom and the power of the Holy Spirit that brings people what? To the very presence and throne room of God. How many can believe God inhabits the praises of his people? All right. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Father, we just pray. We thank you, Father, for our gifts, those that have given and those that want to give more to you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for blessing each and every one, Father, that's in the sound of my voice because of who you are, because you made your home in us, because you have promised to take care of us, Lord, that you said that you care for us. We can cast our care upon you. And Lord, I thank you for meeting the needs of every person. I thank you for favor. I thank you for favor on jobs. Somebody needs favor on your job. Don't stop now. Keep believing God and hold your ground. Stand. Hallelujah. Having done all, stand. God said he'll surround us with favors with his shield. Thank you, Father, for giving us favor, Lord, in what we do, and that you'll bless what we set our hand to. I thank you, Father, for the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit to bring us wisdom, to bring us your wisdom, Lord, and your ability to follow you, Lord, and to walk with you. That you have ideas and wisdom, witty inventions for some, Lord, blessing upon their businesses, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and upon all that we set our hand to do. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you for it, Father. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, God wants me to start with Romans chapter 4 today. So what? Yeah, he does. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 4. So, well, we've been here. Yeah, we have. We're going there again. Verse number 17. Hallelujah. It says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him, talking about Abraham, whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God had one way that he created the world. And how many know that was with what? Words. And how many believe that God doesn't change? He still operates with words in the earth. Words which he has spoken. There's some words that are even in the Word of God. When we read, we think we can change times. There's some, how many know there's some things that God has already set in motion. And it's not going to change. It's going to happen just like he said. You know, he prophesied about Jesus coming. And in Jesus' life alone, over 300 prophecies were fulfilled in his life and with his life. How many think the odds are on God's favor? You see, it's in God's favor. When he speaks it, it comes to pass. There's some things that we can't change. How many know in the last days, he said there's going to be what? Perilous times. But you and I, we're supposed to overcome the perilous times. Amen. We're to be of good cheer and overcome. Why? He said, I have overcome the world. And you'll overcome the world. How do we overcome the world? By our faith. By faith. He said it is the just or the declared righteous ones that live by faith. We live by what we really believe. By what we're persuaded of. How many have been persuaded that Jesus is Lord? That he has risen from the dead? That he paid the price for the sin of all mankind? And when we believe that and we have said it with our mouth, Jesus, you are Lord of my life, I individually receive you as the Lord of all, as Savior of my life. When we proclaim that, the Bible says we become that son or daughter of God. John 1:12, he said, to those that have received him, to them gave he the power to become what? The son of God, the child of God. A joint heir with Jesus Christ. We're not just a co-heir. Some translations say co-heir, but really he said, you are a joint heir. In other words, you are one. You have one in the same inheritance that Jesus had when he walked here on this earth. You have that same inheritance. You become one with the Father. Wasn't that Jesus' prayer? John 17. He said that you would be one. I in the Father and the Father in me and them in me, Lord, that we might be what? One. That we might walk together as a family, as a son of the living God. Because when God created mankind, mankind was what? What was Adam and Eve? Were they perfect? In the beginning, God didn't create them imperfect. Their spirit was created alive to God, and God breathed in them the very breath of life. The very life and nature of God existed in Adam and Eve from the beginning of time. And it's important that we understand that God desires you and I to have that same life and nature on the inside of us. Just like Adam and Eve had on the inside of them, the only difference is it wasn't just in them, but they were clothed, what? In a glorified body. A body that didn't sin. A body that was not corrupted with death. Not yet. In the beginning, there was perfection. And God demands one thing. And He demands perfection. Do you understand that? He said that's why He sent the law, so they would realize after they had sinned, they fell short of the glory of God. They lost the covering that was upon them. They lost the relationship with the Father. They didn't immediately die physically, but in their spirit, they were separated from God. And God came and He began to seek after Adam and Eve. Do you understand the difference between all religion and what Jesus, what God has done for you and I through Jesus Christ? He came seeking mankind. He wanted that relationship with us. He wanted to have fellowship with us closely, intimately. He wanted us to walk with Him, yes, by the faith which He had placed on the inside of mankind. He said, if you can believe that I love you, if you can believe that I want you, if you can believe that Jesus paid the price for you, you can walk with me as a son and daughter of the living God. Now, under the old covenant, how were they saved? They were saved in the belief of the coming Messiah, including Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were what? They were clothed, but God said, hey, he had to make some clothing for them. And we see the first death of some kind of an animal. Amen. And He clothed them. He put clothes upon them because they didn't know before they were naked. They didn't know that there was shame. They had no idea. They didn't know what fear was. They had no idea of evil. But God, hallelujah, we saw this morning, but God, who was rich in mercy because of His great love. For what? For all of mankind. He said, I have to find a righteous man in the earth. And He looked and looked and looked, and He could find none righteous, no, not one. Why? Because Adam and Eve had sinned, and the DNA of man was tainted with sin. And therefore sin came to all men. And we needed the Savior. We must be born again. But the power that comes in that, the strength that comes in that born again nature is greater than sin. It overcomes sin. God didn't want man to just be forgiven. How many know throughout the Old Testament their sins would be covered? They would be forgiven. How many believe that? How many understand that? They would what? Have to bring the sheep, the lamb, the goat, the bull, whatever the sacrifice was under that, under their sin, under their condition. And they would bring the sacrifices to God. And at one time, Solomon was sacrificing so much to God, the blood would have been thousands of tankerfuls of blood that was shed. And yet God said the blood of bulls and goats cannot remove the sin nature out of man. Yes, it would cover. Yes, it would forgive. But it did not change the nature of mankind. But when Jesus came, He says, I have come to fulfill the law in you. And when we believe that, when we understand what Jesus had done and the fullness of our salvation, we begin to walk more and more into the fullness of what He has given us. If we can understand, sin was fully paid for. The sin nature was not just covered under Jesus. We had to have the blood of Jesus. Why did He have to come? Why was it so important that He come? because the blood of bulls could not forgive mankind. God could not just arbitrarily come and indwell man any longer because sin had ruled it out. The sin nature, the nature of man was changed. And now the nature of man through Jesus Christ has changed. From what? From the place of darkness to the place of light. Alive once again to God the Father. Alive in Him. That's why Jesus had said, you must, not maybe, but we must be born again. That's what John 3, 1 through 7. Let's read that for a minute and talk about it just for a moment. Because when we can understand the power of this born again nature, we're not going to be bound to sin. We don't have to walk in sin. Romans chapter 6 says that we are servants to whom we choose to obey. The only true free people in the world are those that are born again. How many know that? Others are bound in sin. They're bound in darkness. They have no real righteous conscience in a sense. You know, in man's way, yeah, they could do good things. They can do good, but how many know? God said, even though I give my body to be burned, we don't have the love of God. We have not yet passed from death to life. He said, by this we know that we're His disciples by the love we have one to another. You know that you pass from death to life. Why? Because you love the brother. There's a love that moves in. There's a love of God that changes the heart of man. He said, we had a heart of stone, but now you made a heart of flesh. You have truly been changed. Not hypothetically, not in a sense, but in a truth. God pulls out that sin nature and places in the very life and nature of God into your spirit. If we looked into your spirit, there would be a scar there where your old nature went out and the life of God came in. When the devil looks at you, he doesn't see you. He sees the very life of God in you and your potential to fulfill all that God called you to do and be in this earth. To where that very life and nature of God can control your natural body from the inside out. See, that's why it's so important. We understand. When we can understand, we had to have a Savior. We had to be born again. What really happened at that place? He says here in John 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. If God's not with him, he cannot do these things. He knows. He's seeing something. The rabbi saw something in Jesus. He saw the very life and nature of God on the inside of him, because Jesus was the only true live person on the earth at that time. There is one person. How would you like to be the only Christian in the world? You may be the only Christian on your job. Praise God. What an honor. What an honor. What a value that God has chosen you to be the light. Hallelujah. In a dark and dying place, wherever that may be. I was the only Christian on my job one time. Hallelujah. Not every time. I was pretty much the only Christian. My boss, who used to go to church, would give me a very hard time. He was telling lies to the people above and to those that were over him. And I didn't know it at the time. I just act like everything's all right. Hallelujah. And to me, it was. But how many know when people tell lies about you, sometimes people believe them. They weren't true. He knew they weren't true. But because I didn't change, I stayed the same. It's kind of like, has anybody ever read the story of Joseph in the Bible, in the Old Testament? Not this Joseph, but the Joseph in the Bible. Well, there in Genesis 37 through 50 is the story of Joseph. How many remember what happened to Joseph? Over and over, his life was filled with trial, wasn't it? It was filled with some suffering. The Bible says all that live what? Godly will suffer persecution. How many know that Joseph was a young man, 17 years old. His father's favorite, the last boy. His other child had died and he was concerned, but God had given him a dream. In this dream, he said all of his siblings and his father even were bowing down before him. I don't think that Joseph, when we see his character throughout, that he was sharing it in any way to be superior. Like, I think his brothers took it. Oh, you're going to make us bow down to you, are you, Joseph? No, that's not how he meant it at all. He was just sharing the dream that God had given him, what he saw. I don't think his attitude was wrong. I don't think he had a haughtiness, but perhaps he shouldn't have shared that dream with them, but he did. And of course, his brothers became jealous and they were upset with him. And so some of his brothers, he's got 11, they wanted to kill him, but thank God for Reuben. He's the oldest, had a little sense. He said, let's not kill him. We're not going to kill him. And they put him in this pit, and I think probably Reuben thought he would go get him out later, but meanwhile they sell him as a slave to Egypt. And how many know what happened? Everything started going rosy for him. Amen? Oh yeah, Joseph, he got up there. He's working in the king's palace. Everything's going fine. And the king's wife tries to seduce him. She liked what he looked like. She was flirtatious and quite desirous of other men. And I'm sure the king knew that. But the king was gone. And one day she attacks him and he leaves his robe and runs out of there. He said, I'm going to bring honor to God. I'm not going to allow the enemy to destroy me. And he's not yet born again. He did love God and he wanted to do righteously in his attitude. And he kept a positive attitude. Even though that happened and the king finds out and his wife comes and talks to him. And probably normally the king could have had him put to death, but how many think maybe the king knew a little bit about his wife? He probably knew she's a little flirtatious. He probably did, but he puts Joseph in jail. How many know he did nothing wrong? His faith, though, did not fail him. He didn't stop believing God. Now we're talking about the new nature here. He didn't have that yet, but yet he used what he did have. He had a desire to please the Father and to walk according to the law the best he could, the best he knew how. Now here in the new covenant, Jesus says, we must be born again. Verse 3 said, Jesus answered, he said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see what the kingdom of God. It is impossible to truly see the kingdom of God until one is born of God. Even under the old covenant, they saw certain things, but they did not understand the fullness of what God wanted to do. They heard about it. They knew that God wanted to live what? In man. That's what they didn't really understand. They didn't understand it's a spiritual kingdom that God wanted to set into the earth. They thought, even the disciples, I remember the disciples. What did they think? They think he's going to overthrow Rome. Some of them said, hey, can my son sit at your right and the other one at your left in your kingdom, Jesus? When you come into your kingdom, they're thinking natural. They're thinking in the natural realm, and God dealt with man all through the old covenant. But in the natural, didn't he? He dealt with them mostly naturally. They saw the pillar of fire. They saw the cloud by day and the fire by night. He said, here it is. Here's the manna that falls down from heaven. Where is your manna now? It comes to us what? On the inside. In our spiritual man. That's where God connects with us. In our spirit. And when we realize we must be born again. If we're not born again, we cannot really see. We cannot understand the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man? Now here's Nicodemus. He's thinking in the natural, isn't he? He says, how can a man be born when he is old? You said, well, I thought you were talking about faith today, Pastor. I am. When you stay in the realm of the natural, how many know the enemy will defeat you every time? He'll get you confused. He'll keep you in a realm of the mental and the mind, and you're going to go round and round in circles. How many know it happened throughout the Old Covenant when they did not believe God? Why didn't they enter into the promised land for 40 years? The Bible says because of their unbelief. They did not believe God. It's a 3-day journey over to the promised land, and they decided to take 40 years. Not only that, God said they were such unbelief, they had to wait for the other generation, the first generation, to die off. He says those that are 20, 21 and under, they're going in, except for, of course, Joshua and Caleb. And maybe there's another, a few handful others that went into the promised land. Amen. Because they believed God. They sided with them. But because of unbelief, it takes faith to please God. And God had given them time and showed sign after sign externally that they can go into the promised land. And he said, they just wouldn't believe him. He said, I will not, they're not believing. But here we see when Jesus comes, when we're born into the kingdom of God, we begin to see. We believe. He comes in the natural, Nicodemus. That was my point. Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Of course not. Who can go backwards after being born in the earth? This is our natural birth. Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water or from his mother and the Spirit, which is from God, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Now here Jesus is talking about that new nature. That inward person, the spirit of man, or he refers to it as the hidden man of the heart. That inward man, our spiritual man, being changed from what? From the place that it was into the kingdom of God. He said we are translated, Colossians says, from darkness into light, the kingdom of light. The Bible said in John 1, we looked at this a little bit before. I believe we did. Anyway, in John 1, he says, in him was life, verse 4, and that life was the light of men. The life that was in the inside of the Word, in Jesus. That very life that was in Christ came to the inside of you and I. And it defeated that sin nature. God said we will receive now a heart of flesh, or one that wants to please God. Under the Old Testament, they would do everything externally. Their whole battle was, I've got to do these things to please the Father. And God was saying, you cannot. It was there, the Bible says, that the law was a tutor or a teacher to bring them to see that they must have a Messiah. They must have a Redeemer. That all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. They must have a Redeemer. They could not keep the law. As hard as they tried, no matter what they did, it was impossible. God knew it was impossible, and it caused them to see their need for Jesus. See, when we realize, and men, how many have ever tried anything in your own flesh, your own strength? Oh, you have. Okay. I see all the faces out here. Everybody has tried something in your own strength. But man's human effort, our own effort, is not going to produce what God does when he changes the heart. So when we look for eternal change, it comes from the inside out. That's the whole point of being born again. Is that we are now alive and have a relationship with the Father and can now understand the things of God. We can begin to see. He said, unless we're born again, it is impossible. No man can see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Are you seeing the value that God has placed on you? He believes in you. He changed our heart from darkness to light. So that once again, man is alive to God. Now, we've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. The difference between you and I and Adam and Eve is that Adam and Eve had a glorified body. How many know that? In the beginning, they had a glorified body. And today, they've got a glorified body. They received a new one. Thank God. How many are grateful for that? Amen. They came into that. And you and I have one glorified body to our account. How many believe that? And we will one day be fully, you know, free of this body. Our spirit will rejoice in God, and one day he will, when he returns with the trump, when God comes back and all is said and done, and he sets up his kingdom in this earth, I mean, no, forever and ever and ever. Forever and ever and ever, we're going to walk in that glorified body. Oh, hallelujah. What a day of rejoicing. It should be rejoicing now because our spirit has been made new. Our spirit was changed. Our life is not what it used to be. We are not lost in sin. Even as the scripture that we read early in Ephesians 4, that it pleased God. It was God's pleasure. It was his delight. It was to fulfill his love for you and I that he gave Jesus. That Jesus came. Why? So that you and I can be changed and God could dwell in temples made not by human hands, but made of men. Us, ourselves, not in temples that were created externally, but that God would dwell in mankind and we would be the temple of the living God. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you're seeing this today. I know we've heard it before. You say, well, I know this, Pastor. I know, but how much of what we have heard have we really become? Has it become a part of our very being? Do we really realize we are sons and daughters of the living God, that we belong to him? He is the Father of our reborn spirit. In other words, Jesus said, you must be born again or be born from above. In other words, God becomes the Father of your reborn spirit. He's not the Father of your flesh. How many know that your natural body, which was born in the earth, it's not equal with everybody? Our natural birth is not equal. How many know some people have a great talent? They can play football or basketball or baseball. They're the best. They're one of the best. They're great. Now, that's not a lot of people. That's really, when you look at it, it's just a handful of people, a few thousand. You know, look at all the players. We could add them all up, all the basketball players and the football players and the baseball players and the hockey players and all the players of great sports. And it's a few thousand people. Amen. Maybe it's 20,000. I don't know exactly, but hallelujah. It's not millions and millions. And sometimes we get our hopes up, and some of us have realized, you know, I'm not 6 foot. Or I'm not 7 feet tall. I'm never going to be that great star that I maybe in your natural part of you want to be. You may be very good. But how many know it takes a greater thing on the inside of a person to be even better? Amen. Even amongst the greats, there are greats. So we need to realize our natural birth. It's not equal. Some are not born. How many know that some people have been born without arms or legs? Some people were born with certain things or not certain things. They were born with a sickness or disease. Yet God has a plan for their life. God has a purpose for them. He wants them to be made well. And on the inside of us, he wants them, first of all, of course, to be born again. That's number one. I mean, no, that's the most important thing for everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. If I got sick and died, it's okay. I'm going to heaven. I'm all right. That's worst case scenario. I'm going to heaven. Worst case scenario. I'm going to heaven. Do you understand? That's pretty good. Amen. How many are glad? I'm glad my daddy's in heaven. There's some days I miss him. Some days I even cry. If something happens, you know, you get that one thing that happened or something you smelled or something you saw, you know, or a memory that you had and you miss that person, but you rejoice. because we know they're in a better place. They've received. They've entered into glory. They've moved past this flesh. And have received something greater, and we begin to rejoice. Now there are stages, amen. How many know? There are stages that we go through. We go through grief. A lot of times we're in shock, and then that wears off, and we're in, you know, maybe we feel bad, or we think it's our fault, or it was something we did, or something that didn't happen. But this is a world that we live in, where there's sin and corruption, and as long as there is, there's going to be death and dying and war and famine and earthquakes, and things are going to happen. Now, we have a certain amount of authority. God wants us to use all the authority that we have, all the authority that we can walk in. Amen. And we're going to overcome. Sometimes we walk through things. How many know that Joseph walked through some things and he did all kinds of righteousness? He didn't change his attitude when he went into the prison, did he? No, he kept the same attitude and eventually became, the one over the prison realized, hey, he's a great guy. He's got a good attitude, got a good heart. He's honest. He's dependable. He can be trusted. He has integrity in his life. So he puts Joseph over the prison. So Joseph, you know, he interpreted it, the guy had the dreams, and he interprets the dreams for a couple people. Oh, I'll tell the king when I get put in my place, and then he forgot. Oh, anybody ever had that? Your hopes are all up. Looks like everything's going to take off for you. Things are going to change. Woohoo! And what happened? It didn't happen that way. Oh God, what's going on? Am I doing something wrong? Joseph was doing nothing wrong, but he kept a positive attitude. He kept a positive heart. He kept his heart right with God. He didn't go into bitterness and unforgiveness. He didn't get mad at God. He didn't start not serving God, but he continued to be faithful and he stayed the same. And when we let our nature rule us, we will stay the same. We will walk with God. We will stay the same regardless of circumstance. How many know? Sometimes circumstances aren't always your fault. Sometimes something bad happens in life and we have to go through adjustments. There's changes that take place. And we have to embrace the change and stay what? The same. We don't change because of circumstance around us. That's part of our faith that we're walking. We don't start deciding, well, I'm going to be something else than what I am. God gave me what? Joy, peace, patience. It's up to me to let those things operate in me and to operate from my spirit man and not to let the circumstance change who I am. But I change to what the Word of God says I am, and I change that circumstance by living according to what He said. Hallelujah. What a joy. What an honor to walk with Him, to be called a son of the living God, to be born again with the Spirit that's been changed to righteousness, so that now I know my standing with God is righteousness. My standing with Him is peace. My standing with Him is joy. He said, the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. When we realize that there's peace and joy in our heart, we know that faith is operating from within us. We can begin to rejoice in the Lord regardless of what we see. And that is the faith of God that's coming from where? Our spiritual, our born again nature. It's not coming from up here in our mind in the mental realm. The devil will try to keep you in the mental realm and into reasoning and try to defeat you every single time. Now it doesn't mean God's not going to bring an answer. He will. He brought an answer to Joseph. It just didn't come in the time that he expected, I'm sure. 13 years he stayed in prison for doing what was right because he would not dishonor God. And if we'll stand, I'm telling you folks right now, we're not giving up. We're not going to stop. We'll keep believing God. And I guarantee you, I'm not hoping there's going to be revival. I see it in this city. I see it in this place. I used my eye of faith and I said, God has said He will inhabit the praises of His people. He said He's going to answer us when we call unto Him. He said if we would ask Him for the city, He's going to give it to us. You realize on the inside of you, faith has come. Faith comes when we believe what He has said. When we hold fast to what He has promised and we continue to act according to His word. That we know, hey, my Father loves me. I'm not a creature that's just here by happenstance. I didn't just happen to come into being, but God has loved me. God has birthed me. I've been born from my Father above, and I am His son. I am His daughter, and I belong to Him. Paul said, this day, whom I believe, whose I am, and in whom I believe. When he stood before Festus, he says, I am confident in the one of whose I am. Are you confident in whose you are? You understand who He is. He is the God of love. He is the God, we said last time, who is love, but who is also faithful. He is a God that doesn't change. He didn't start loving mankind one day and change the next. He stayed in a place called love because that's who He is. He can't be anything else. He can't do anything else. He is it. He's not trying to become it. He's not trying to be love. God is love. He can be nothing else toward you. He will love you when you are good. He'll love us when we're bad. Now, He desires us to act righteously. Amen. How many ever worked with somebody? Maybe they didn't act too righteously, but you would that they did. You know, hey, I'm not holding something against you, but if you'd act righteously, I'd really appreciate that. You know, amen. If you would at least do your job, right? Hallelujah. Anybody ever do that? You know, you're doing the job of two people because they're not really doing their full job, or one and a half, or whatever it is. But we don't complain, do we? Because God said that we are not there. God didn't love the complaining of those under the covenant, did He? In the old covenant, when Moses was taking them through the Israel, was going through the wilderness, how many remember when they began to grumble and complain against Moses? Miriam, his own sister, some others, amen, joined in. And they said, who made you the boss, Moses? God. At that point, Moses may have felt like he didn't want to be the boss. Anybody ever been there? Well, who made you so righteous? Jesus. Jesus made me righteous. Well, did you get your... No, it was a gift that He gave me. Through what? Through your belief in Him. Because you believe. Because we confessed Him as Lord. Because He came and changed my heart from darkness to light. He said, you must be born again. He says, don't think it's so strange. Nehemiah, sorry. Hallelujah. Praise God, Nicodemus. Don't think it's so strange, Nicodemus. You must be born from above. You've got to be birthed from the Father. Your nature has to change. You have to have this experience with Him to begin to see the kingdom of God. And what did He say? Where is the kingdom of God? It is what? Within you. Because God lives in you. God comes and makes His home in you. He becomes your very own Father. And we become His very own sons. And we become a family as one. That's why they said we call each other sister and brother around here. Amen. Hallelujah. We become a family. We become one with Him. We begin to operate as a body, as a family, where every person in the family brings their supply. Where all the family, we begin to work with the Father in the kingdom. Amen. What do you say, Romans 8? We'll start in 14. We'll read 14 and 15. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. You are the Father of my spirit. God is our very own Father. We are His very own sons and daughters. Of the living God. We're sons of God. Now some people say, well, I'm a daughter of God. Yes. one sense, but also the men, we're the bride of Christ. So hang in there. Amen. Amen. We are His. We belong to Him. We are one with God. His nature, His life, entering once again into mankind, making them what? Right with God because of the shed blood of Jesus and because of His desire to live with man and to love man and to love through man. He said, I have a dream. I mean, we could hear God, we could say, God would say, I have a dream, I have a desire. But it was more than a dream. It was a promise that He gave to Abraham. And through Abraham came Christ. And through Christ came us, many sons and daughters unto the living God. That's why He said to Abraham, He said, you were Abram, but now you are Abraham, the father of what? Many nations, many people groups, all mankind will begin to call me Father because of your faith, Abraham. You believed. He believed in the coming Messiah. Abraham had faith. He left his place and God made a client nation that would walk with him and that would begin to serve him, and he would grant the law and they would see the deed through Jesus, and through their line came Christ. He said, I have to get into the earth. I have to get a righteous man into the earth because I can find no righteous, no, not one. I can't find any man in the earth that could pay the price for the penalty of sin, which was death, because there's no righteous men in the earth. He had to come from the outside, but he had to gain something. He gained the permission of man. And through Mary, she said, what be it unto me, Lord, according to your will. And God, through Mary, God being the Father, God being the one that placed His DNA on the inside of Jesus, being born, not of the will of man, but by God, the will of God. And He came forth into the earth with the body of a man, but the Spirit alive to God, never had sinned, with a nature that was alive to God from the beginning, that had the ability on the inside of Him to walk in perfection with God, just like you and I have. We can walk with Him. We can walk above sin. We can walk above poverty. We can walk above lack. We can walk with Him hand in hand. We can walk in righteousness. We can walk in love. We can walk in gentleness. We can walk in peace. We can walk with patience. We can walk with kindness. We can walk with joy. We can walk with Him hand in hand because He said, I'm coming. I'm going to cause you to be a son, a daughter of the living God. Not one that's still bound. See, they were not free in their spirit. They were still bound in sin. They were still had a death nature on the inside. They weren't yet alive on the inside. On the outside, they were doing everything they could to please God. But now God has said, I moved on the inside. And from that inward man, from that hidden man of the heart, from the very life of God that moved in you, you can have a relationship with God and know and understand my kingdom. And you can call me Father. Oh, hallelujah. How many are glad you've been born again today? I know I'm talking about that new nature, but it is by faith. There is a faith in that. When we can believe that God has really changed you. Amen. He changed our spirit from darkness to light. He caused us to be changed on the inside. And from that place where we've been born again as a child of God, we continue to mature. We continue to be transformed. We actually really become what God has really made us, a born again spirit, and live from that spirit, live that life, live from that nature that He gave us on the inside of us. That's really the part of us where we continue to grow. We continue to mature. And we put to death the outward man, but we allow that inward man, what? To begin to move more and more, let the life of God more into the nature and more into the image of who Jesus made us to really be. The very same life that was in Jesus came on the inside of you. Amen. You have your own spirit. Jesus had His spirit, but you received one just like His. It's on the inside of you. Your spirit became just like His, alive to God, able to understand Him, able to walk with Him, able to go hand in hand with the Father, possessing the land, maturing more and more into being full-fledged, righteous, living sons of the living God, able to believe Him, to trust Him, to walk with Him, and to allow His life to not just affect you, but those around you. How many are glad you've been born again? Hallelujah. You can know Him. We can walk with Him. Through that nature, and really when we receive the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit empowers that nature even more. And we continue to walk with Him. But we've got to be born again first. How many know you can't receive the Holy Spirit without being born again? Amen. That's even added power to that new nature within us. Maybe we'll talk about that more next time. But I want you to realize you're a son of the living God. You are His, born of our Father. His very own child, His very own son and daughter, and He has loved you. He has chosen you before the foundation of the world. He chose us in Him that we might be conformed to the very image of His Son, Jesus. As He is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Amen? Hallelujah. How many want to walk more like Him? Hallelujah. I hope you're encouraged this morning. I know that we're talking about faith, but part of faith is realizing who we really are. Part of His family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where we can have a relationship. How many of you know it's not based upon us trying to find God, but He found you. Jesus came to the earth. He came for mankind. And when we discover what He has done, our life is what changed forever. We become a new creation, a species that didn't exist before, born again in our spirit, but not yet in the body. Yet we're alive to You. We've been born from our Father above and having that nature to know Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many want to get to know your Father? He loves you. He cares for you. He wants you. He desires you. He said it is the Father's good pleasure. It was the Father's good pleasure to adopt you into His family. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rokobres. Hallelujah. His love for you. The extent of that love. The fullness of it. Oh, what a love the Father. He said, that John said in 1 John, look and see. He's saying, look and see. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And then He said, now, right now, you are a son of God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise You, Father. And we love Him because He first loved us. Hallelujah. How many are you going to let Him love you a little bit more? Amen. In His presence, there is the fullness of joy. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You for the new birth, Father. Thank You, Father, that we've been born again. That You have created us and made us to be like You. That more and more, Father, we're being transformed from the inside out to walk in this earth just like Jesus. Oh, Father, thank You. Thank You for loving us, Father, so much. We give You glory. We give You praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. The change that we desire does not come from us struggling and trying, but it comes from us praying and dying to the things of the outward man and be more and more alive to the things of what God has placed within us. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We choose you, Lord. We love you today. Thank you for your presence, Father. Hallelujah.